What's up, everyone? It's Brian, the producer of The Mark Haney Show. I want to start off by saying I hope that you and all of your family members are safe during these uncertain times. You're about to hear an episode from our new daily webinar series called Power of With. We put this together in light of recent events. We brought together all of the experts in our community to help give you resources and action steps that you can take today in order to survive during these uncertain times. If you'd like to catch the webinar live, you can find it on our website, haneybiz.com, under the events section. You can register. We go live every day at 2 p.m. We hope to see you there, and we know that we can get through this together.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us. This is Haney Biz web series on surviving the coronavirus and really coming to grips with this fast-changing challenge. Today we're going to be talking about probably the most, I shouldn't even say probably, the most important part of keeping our businesses going and maybe even thriving at some point through this thing. And that's our people. If we don't have the right people, we really don't have anything when we're building our company. So thank you for joining us. This is just an effort to help entrepreneurs stay connected and not everybody feeling alone during this time when we're sort of sequestered in our house or in the home office or what have you. So Rick Spencer, VP here at Haney Biz, has sort of facilitated a series of events. Today's is on people. I want to turn over to Rick a little bit to maybe kind of introduce today's guests and maybe share a little bit about what's happening at Haney Biz.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, as Mark said, you know, we rally as quick as possible to provide support to our community with this crisis. This is our fourth webinar that we've done in the last three business days. And, you know, wow, do things move quickly. It was just last Monday, the 16th, I see Mark wearing his Flatstick Pub shirt representing a portfolio company proud. We had a happy hour planned for our portfolio companies that we had to cancel ahead of restaurants being forced to close. And I think everyone was hit last week with just, you know, the gravity of the situation. And as Mark said, you know, as we all come together and learn new skills, it all comes down to people. So thank you for joining us today. These webinars are being recorded, so we are launching them through our podcast channels, our YouTube channels. We've got some great experts today, and at the end, we'll be answering questions. So you'll see a Q&A icon in your web browser, so feel free to submit questions throughout our presentation today, and we'll make sure that we answer those questions or get those questions answered. So, with that said, I'd really like to welcome our guests, both with Higher Education Consulting Group, Katie McConnell, who's a founder and entrepreneur herself, and also a Hub member with us at Haney Biz and a longtime supporter of our community. So thank you so much, Katie, for rallying and creating this great content. And her colleague, Natasha Scott. Natasha has a background in human resources and brings a lot to the team. So we're excited to hear from both of you today about exploring your competitive advantage.
Thank you so much, and thank you to Mark as well. I would say we're happy to be here, but I think nobody's really happy to be in the situation that we're in today. So we will go ahead and launch right into the material here. And today we're talking about exploring your competitive advantage during this unique landscape. And Mark joining us here today, we're essentially going to roll through this material fairly quickly, leaving lots of time for Q&A, and I'm sure Mark will have a lot of ideas and things to say, so feel free to chime in at any point in time and interrupt us as we move through the next 15 minutes of ideas here.
Okay, thank you, Katie.
Absolutely. I think Rick touched on this, so Natasha and I are here. You can see our happy little faces in the corner of your screen. We are two members of Higher Education Consulting Group, and essentially we do all things in the talent and people space. So people growth, human capital, training, retention, and recruitment. So let's launch right into the first opportunity. And today we're talking about all of the various opportunities that may come about or that exist as a result of this changing landscape. And the first opportunity is your employer of choice perception. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what that means.
Absolutely. And this might sound like a very simple place to start, but it's often a place and a step that folks miss. So that's why we're starting here.
So we're talking about leveraging a positive employer brand. And a couple of facts to think about. We've had a massive talent shortage for the past couple of years. It's probably not just going to go away. Interestingly enough, this week already, we've seen a huge influx of resumes come to us, which is probably to be expected as folks that are employees try to find their footing with companies where they feel uneasy. They start reaching out for anything that they can grab onto. So being an employer of choice still matters with the people that you're currently employed, as well as attracting folks from the outside. And I do want to highlight as well, for those listening and to Mark as well, we're talking about a long-term strategy here. We're not talking about what's going to get you through the next couple of weeks. We're all in the trenches. We're talking about looking out onto the horizon for how we can get through this and what's best for our companies and emerge from this with a bigger picture perspective in mind.
And Katie, is it okay if we interject some of this? Because I think probably everybody on the line is thinking, if they're an employee watching, they're thinking, oh crap, how long am I going to have this job? Or, you know, what am I going to do? And then I think employers, we are having to take action right now, like today, yesterday, you know, next week. So I want to make sure we sort of take that into consideration as we go through this, because obviously your short-term decisions are going to affect the long-term outcomes. So I want to make sure we at least address any concerns that we might have on that front as well.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we're talking about, is that the whole world is watching your customers as well as your internal employees, and how you navigate the situation as an employer is very, very important for your long-term employer brand. So for example, we've seen some clients that have been very proactive as far as getting in front of their employees with making sure, especially in the trades, which is a necessary service. So they're out in the community right now risking themselves. Do they have PPE equipment? Are they adequately protected? Are they getting what they need to know from their employer around what the parameters of how to interact with other people are, how to enter other businesses? All of that ties into how people see you as a company, and thus what we're calling your employer brand.
Very helpful.
Anything else on employer brand before we move on to the next opportunity?
No, okay. Thanks.
This one's really important, is providing a forum for employee support. I mean, this list of emotions that we have here, I feel like I've ridden this roller coaster just this morning with all of those feelings. And I think I've been hearing a lot, we're all on the phone a lot, but we're not necessarily accomplishing a lot. We all just want to reach out, be in community with each other, listen, have an open ear. And how are you providing that within your own organization to support folks? You know, something that's important to remember as an employer as well is that triggers can come up from past issues that employees may have experienced that you might not know about. Maybe addictions. Oftentimes with addiction, if you're in isolation, it may be a trigger for a past addiction that an employee had, and being able to be that forum to make sure that you're supporting your employees. And so how might you take advantage of this opportunity to make sure that you are supporting your employees?
Well, okay, so I want to dive into that a little bit. So you're an employer that doesn't know what's going to be happening next week or the week after. You know, and if you look at the screen behind me, it's the, you know, it's the stock market going down one more day, and people talking about the economy just looking completely different in the third quarter. Well, second quarter for sure, but third quarter and maybe beyond. How transparent is it? How important is that we're transparent with what's going through our, you know, through our minds as we get a little defensive at times?
Yeah, I think I know we've experienced quite a bit of that this week, as everyone wants to prove relevance to essentially defend their job. In my opinion, is I think it depends on each individual employer. My personal stance and what I've been advising our clients is, you know, if you are the CEO, it is your job to look around corners and to make decisions that are in the best interest of your company. And if you're transparent about the fact that you're trying to make decisions that are best for the company as a whole and not for yourself as the CEO or for any one individual employee, that level of transparency can really go a long way.
You bet.
And so some other ways that you can support your employees outside of giving them transparency, you know, into what's going on with your financials or private information like that, a couple of different ideas that we have that you may want to take advantage of. If you have an employee assistance program, one of those hotline numbers that companies pay for to leverage to be able to have their employees call in, now's a good time to remind everybody of that resource. And some companies are also actually reaching out to they're called EAP programs and asking if they can get additional phone time. They seem to be working with employers on, you know, being able to leverage that resource. Natasha, you want to talk about some of the other forums?
Yes, absolutely. So some of the other forums, one of the things that I've really enjoyed over my time in managing teams Florida to Hawaii is the ability to remotely connect my team. And so that experience is really coming in handy right now. I know a lot of managers aren't used to necessarily working with a remote team, and here we are. I've really enjoyed Slack as an example, and other tools that I've heard of are things like Microsoft, right, people, that's a huge one that people are using right now, and finding various ways to digitally connect, and especially really having this video connection allows people to translate even more and allows a little bit more of that connection. So if ever there was a time where we had to rally and go remote, this is a pretty great time in history to do that. I know that we're now currently experiencing some frustrations with networks being overloaded, text messages not sending quickly, webinars dropping. And that is something that we just have to stay patient through, because this is a really strong opportunity for us to band together and really use the tech that we do have. We have to be patient through some of the quirks as we get up and rally through it.
Something else as well, I think we're hearing a lot about focus on what you can control. There's so much out of our control, so focus on what we can control. And something that we can control is the message within our own organization, and providing a forum under your control, maybe a Slack group or maybe even a Facebook group, depending on, you know, what your technology capabilities are, where you can actually control the message. You can start with a, let's all share today something that we're grateful for, or what was the silver lining that's come out of your work from home time? Or I've seen funny memes about, you know, replace my kids with my coworker, and, you know, what's it like to work with your kids every day? And being able to kind of control the message while also providing a platform for folks to connect without all of the kind of fears that we're experiencing from the outside world is something that can really be a support for your employees.
Another point of support, Katie, I have to say, every time I feel like I need something to turn to, you are just an encyclopedia of books and literature. And I very much appreciate knowing that we can turn to the work that's already out there to help get us through some of these challenges with some really proactive pieces of advice out there.
I think we've fairly well covered this, and Mark, you touched on this also, but communication and transparency across platforms. Thinking from that long-term perspective, you know, we will come out the other side of this. How you handle this situation now inside of your organization depends on how your current candidates, your current employees refer you new hires. Customers that come in the door from existing employees and in the community may depend on how you respond to this situation and how you're treating your current workforce through these challenges.
And of course, retention is so important right now with making sure that as we aim and as we learn and look to the future and figure out how are our teams going to look, how are we really going to get through this, keeping our top talent on our teams really is very critical. So not losing sight of those retention issues, Katie, you were saying, is absolutely important. And how you as an employer position yourself definitely impacts and in that retention.
So some challenges of remote workers, and we won't spend a ton of time on this. I think everyone joining us today is calling in remote, so you may be experiencing those challenges. right now. So a couple of things to highlight, but employee engagement. I mean, it can be really challenging to engage folks, especially with all the distractions of the outside world, as well as maintaining that feeling of camaraderie and community culture when you don't have, you know, you're not walking through the office every single day. Another one is the productivity. And we've gotten a lot of immediate questions about this as productivity was essentially flatlined last week. How do we, as we transition into a remote environment for those companies that are fortunate enough to have work, how do we keep people productive and keep people on task? So we're seeing, obviously leveraging technology, but using calendar invites to set up a morning huddle every day so folks can check in at a certain time. A client this morning told Natasha and I, are they on the webinar at 8 a.m.? Are they dressed? Because if they're dressed and ready, they're in the mindset to work, which mindset has so much to do with getting through the days right now.
Absolutely. And I recently saw Simon Sinek too just release a quick video about morning huddle, where it doesn't have to be super formal, but it does offer that stability and to the flip argument, just a consideration about really managing through some of those micromanaging tools is just really making sure you're checking with your employees and reading the room. Some really benefit from that structure, others might not. So those are absolutely considerations to have in mind of how best to manage a remote team. And there might not just be a one size fits all answer.
Mark, I know you do a morning huddle in the office. Have you done a virtual morning huddle yet?
We are regrouping to something in the afternoon, but everybody's disrupted it at the moment, so we are not there yet. Mm-hmm. But there's no question that regular communication is key. So living through 2008, a lot of tough decisions had to be made in my companies, and we're making tough decisions here within some of our companies at Haney Biz. And I do think that communication and, for me, transparency has been, it's made me feel good inside to be as transparent as I can. That way we're kind of all in it together, especially when you're going through something that might feel like you're needing to attack from a different direction, or you're just not sure what you're going to do. So you want to rally the troops and communicate what you do know.
Thank you. So let's talk about another important competitive advantage, which might sound totally inside out right now, but hang with me here. You're hiring competitive advantage. And we're certainly not saying that anyone is ready to go out and give an offer letter today. If you are, that's fantastic, but we're not seeing that. But what we are seeing is that you now have the opportunity to have the attention of a candidate pool that was previously preoccupied. And what I mean by that is, as a hiring professional, we may often not be able to get in touch with somebody because they're constrained by, I can't talk to you right now because I'm at the office all day. And then I go home and I have my family time and there's just no good time. Now they may be in a position where they're all ears to listen to what you have to say and talk about your opportunities, which is a great pipelining opportunity. And what I mean by pipelining opportunity is building that bench of talent now, so that when we do emerge from this and you are ready to start growing again, you do have access to that top talent. So our slide here says, when everyone else is slowing hiring and you're not, you're at a strategic competitive advantage because your candidate pool just got really wide because your competition isn't calling them anymore.
Absolutely, and keep in mind, hiring takes time. Especially hiring the right person, it takes even longer. So this is a great time to start talking to that top talent that's potentially now readily available to you, and really start building that pipeline out for when you are ready to start regrouping and moving your hiring initiatives forward.
Another thing to consider is that it's okay to stretch out your hiring process even longer. Mm-hmm. We're kind of in an upside down world right now where usually we're trying to hire as fast as possible. Well, now we want to hire, but we want to hire as slowly as possible because we can't really hire right now, but we want access to top talent. So what can we do to implement personality indexes, cognitive tests, so that we know when we have identified somebody that they're absolutely the right person for the team? And we do have a couple of clients we're working with right now where we've got folks queued up that we're not ready to hire because we're just not sure about a start date. We're not sure about, there's a million moving parts. But that said, we know that they're the right person for the team, or we're not sure yet, but we can continue putting them through a vetting and screening process, which on the back end will ensure top talent and reduce turnover, attrition, and cost to the business once we're through the other side of this thing. So our message here is utilize this time right now to position yourself because you have a captive audience and your competition pool has decreased.
Absolutely.
You want some Q&A yet, or is this a new slide? Okay.
Oh, if it's a relevant question, certainly. Otherwise, we can move.
Well, it's relevant, I think, to some of us. So I want to know, like, which industries right now are you speaking most to, right? So who is still hiring at some level, and who is there are going to be some industries that just are not in that space. In fact, some of us are maybe downsizing at some level, and we would like to maybe have an opportunity to rehire those same people. Just looking for like some practical stuff for what's really happening right now.
Sure. This is really happening right now. You know, this is our business, and we are, especially in the ag space and the trade space, this is still happening. I mean, agriculture isn't going anywhere. We need groceries more than ever, we're finding. The grocery business is another one. Anybody that's in the food and supply chain sector, we don't have any toilet paper clients, but certainly I think that's a good industry. No, all joking aside, construction, I think, has been relatively unaffected, depending on if it's a supply type construction or if it's, you know, underground and dirt moving has been doing very well because they have the big iron, they don't need the materials. Those that need materials overseas, we're seeing a bit of a slowing. Architects as well, we have an architect client that's still, you know, the demand and competition for architect talent over the past couple years has been such that, yes, we're pulling our foot off the pedal, but we're not going to completely slam the brakes. We don't want to lose the momentum that we've gained over the past couple of years. Solar as well seems to be a little bit up in the air. I saw the Business Journal today gave some unfortunate news, but otherwise we're seeing that strong. I think where we're seeing the slow and the pivot is professional services, as well as a lot of not-for-profits, and then anything that has to do with youth activities, given that children are out of school right now.
So what's the cause of the professional services? It's just, why are they freezing up so much?
Well, for us, I mean, we do a lot of work in the finance and CPA world space. The CPAs are servicing clients that are experiencing a slowdown. So it's a little bit of a trickle effect. My personal opinion and some of the others is that it's a fear reaction that in the professional services, we better cut costs as soon as possible. And so those consultants are one of the first things that gets slashed when you're trying to preserve your core. But I'm not really sure. I mean,
one of the things that we were thinking, and I've talked to a few people, they're dealing with that right now, but that the longer term trend toward outsourcing versus having an in-house accountant or an in-house HR person, in-house recruiter, in-house IT, these things are probably more likely to be outsourced in the coming years.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we're you know, have benefited from that as well as an outsourced human capital department. I think right now we have a lot more questions than answers, probably like everyone around. I think what we're seeing, and your accountants probably are seeing this too, is folks are really assessing their cash position, and payroll is usually the biggest line item, right? So that's the first thing we're all looking at, my firm included. From there, it's okay, well, now what? You know, and I don't know that we're past that. As I said to my team last week was kind of the proverbial blue screen of death from a laptop perspective, and now we're all in reboot mode. So once we get restarted and rebooted and then can look at some numbers, then I think we'll see a better trend. Yeah. We are not saying anyone is hiring right now. That's not what we're seeing outside of a couple of key industries, which absolutely are. We're planting a seed that, you know, this long-term perception is a strategic competitive advantage for your company if you're leveraging it appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Well, our concrete company is doing well throughout this. Some of the portfolio companies are experiencing a slowdown. Others don't seem to be feeling it.
Yeah. another opportunity to take advantage of, downtime. And we say, think about all the times you've said, I wish I had time to get this done. Well, now we do. So a couple of examples of that, and we're coming from the people space, of course, but training. Most, if not all companies have somebody queued up on deck that is, hey, this is my next up and comer. This is my rising star. To the extent that you're able to figure out how to float payroll, which we're going to talk about a little bit later in the presentation, to keep that person around and leverage the opportunity to get the management training or any kind of development, huge opportunity, right? Evaluating and revamping employee handbooks, hiring processes. I think any time that we can spend on the business, not in it, right? We talk a lot about how we're, as business owners, in our businesses so much, and it's hard to find the time to get that 50,000 flyover. Now is the strategic time to start looking on your business and not in your business and saying, what kind of processes can I document? Can I make better? I know personally as a business owner, I'm planning on making it through to the other side of this thing. Whoop, and welcome to work from home. I think we're all experiencing that a little bit. But where as a business owner, I can say, okay, I've been moving so fast that I haven't had a chance to really take a brain dump of what's been going on and get it documented to create some level of legacy. And now's my opportunity to really to take advantage of that. Even if it has to be me because I've had to make some hard choices, this is how I can utilize this time strategically for the long haul. Little bit on a couple more ideas around forward thinking.
Yes, so let's talk about workforce planning. There's a lot of power here right now, and this is definitely the time in this downtime to take an inventory of existing talent on your bench. And what I mean by that is don't look over their resumes and look at the bullet points and figure out what you hired them for. This is an opportunity to say, where are people rock stars in areas that I didn't initially hire them for, but they're just excelling and they're showing their capabilities and their competency. This is where you can really leverage and grow your own team to get through this thing, to get to the other side, and then for you to really just be aware of the wealth of talent that perhaps you don't always stop and take stock of to see what you truly have available to you. So who is underutilized? Also we talked about this, but let's look at where some of the inefficiencies might be happening. Definitely identify who must be retained. We talked about engagement. This is where that really comes in. Is that person sensing that they are essential? And what are ways that you can go about identifying ways to show them that? And where are some of the skills gaps?
Yeah. This is also that idea, you know, if you're stranded on a desert island, everyone empty out all their pockets and let's see what we've all got and what we can use to, you know, build a boat and get off this island. Within your own organizations, who's got what skills? I know one of our gals on the team comes from a content writing and magazine publishing background. And she and I were talking this morning about how we can leverage that skill set, which is not part of the job that she does every day. But okay, this is what's in your proverbial pocket. You know, let's dump that out and sort it around on the table and figure out what do we have to work with here? Because we may have unique skills that we're gonna need to deploy that were not utilized before because we didn't need to.
Absolutely.
Another idea is strategic retreats. This has become increasingly popular. I know we've done quite a few of them last year and early this year. What about doing it virtually? You know, and gathering your people together and saying, okay, we're doing this actually within our own team with my firm tomorrow. Okay, between all of us, you know, we've got several master's degrees, a couple of professional certifications. If you're an entrepreneur, you've at least gone through the School of Hard Knocks and have that diploma under your belt. So you've got some experience there. How can we leverage all of this and rub our brain cells together and see what sparks with our own team or with others in the community as well and see how we can innovate and spend time in strategy?
Didn't look like I was going to ask a question. I was thinking.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Yes, I had something. I have ADD, so I have these things in my mind. So, okay. So, you know, we're beginning to see some of the higher level executive talent, the higher paid people are finding it that, you know, that they may be more one of the first ones to go, right? There are people out there that, you know, are extremely talented. And somebody I know used the term executive analyst, and he wanted me to sort of see if that was a, is that a real term? Is that a, have you ever heard of somebody, a job title of somebody who would be like a good right-hand person to a CEO or maybe the inner circle? And right now there's some real talent out there that, and there'll be more next week, yeah, the week after. And then finding those, just an opportunity to pick up like real talent for the inner circle that you don't have.
I mean, I would call that person, I guess, a COO, a chief operating officer, or a chief strategist. My answer to that, those people are the first ones to go. And every organization is different, of course. But have we had the conversation around, and this actually dovetails really well into our next section, have we done everything and what's in the best interest of the company? You know, once again, as the CEO, it's about what's in the best interest of the company, not in the collective of any one person, including the CEO. So if we're having those conversations together, there's got to be a way, right, that makes sense for the greatest number of people, which can everybody take a pay cut? Can we reduce our hours? Can we go on rotation? With all of this great talent, I have a hard time just swallowing the option of, well, one person just has to go, unless we've done a workforce inventory and they just don't have anything in their proverbial pockets and they're not going to help us get off the island and they're eating all our pineapples, in which case I understand we have hard choices to make. But with really valuable people, we've got to figure out how we can all make sacrifices and do what's best for the greater good here. Next opportunity is innovation only, of course, after client service. And our slide here says innovation happens in the spaces in between doing. With the best idea that you just had probably came to you when you were in the shower or at 2 a.m. or when you were driving around spacing out, not when you were in the doldrums of grinding out work. So innovation has to happen. We all have to innovate, pivot, and stay relevant. And the first way that we do that outside of servicing our clients is to eliminate time waster projects. And what I mean by time waster is anything that doesn't contributing to servicing your customers or innovation and forward progress. So essentially anything that's not a revenue generating activity or an indirect attribution to revenue generating activities. And this is, I think, where Mark, you said hard conversations have to happen and it's a bummer. And that's, I think the workforce planning really comes in to say, okay, you know, we had a, I'm just going to make this up. Company A had a file clerk that was filing documents and that was their job. Okay, well, that is all of a sudden not an essential task anymore. It's not driving the engine forward. So do we just fire that person or can we take a skills inventory and figure out how we might better utilize that person? But we ultimately can't keep paying somebody to file right now, right? It doesn't necessarily make sense for the business anymore. So there's not an easy answer.
You know, you're talking about these tougher conversations. Any advice to the CEO on how to deal with the stress associated with a very difficult decision or a series of very difficult decisions?
Ooh, I was going to ask you that question. the advice of one of the clients of ours from this morning of, you know, get up, do your hair, slap some chapstick and some mascara on. Maybe not for you, Mark, but getting yourself in that right mindset, connecting with nature, which I think we're doing. We're seeing a lot of people walking around the neighborhood, you know, just getting out and enjoying the outdoors. I've kind of been on this roller coaster between stepping up in leadership and self-sabotaging with, you know, sleeves of Girl Scout cookies and bottles of wine. So I'm probably the wrong person to give this advice. I'm still trying to figure that out.
I have to say, not to chime in with Simon Sinek again, but I having just read his most recent book, having an infinite mindset that I've seen the clients that we currently have that I think are sending the best, most positive message aren't just worried about tomorrow. Of course, it's important to be aware of tomorrow, but having the infinite mindset, what does today's decision have? What impact does this decision have on our long-term goals and plans? And knowing that there is no end to this game, that we have to keep playing it, is hopefully more encouraging than daunting.
I also think, you know, this is a very humanizing experience for all of us. We're seeing inside people's homes in webcams. We're seeing their children run around in the background, their pets. You know, dialing in with that humanity, I think, at least for me, my tendency is to want to rush a decision to get it crossed off the list, especially in the face of uncertainty. We all want to grab at control. I think entrepreneurs, we're used to moving all the moving parts and being in control. And all of a sudden, I'm not really in control of anything. So it's okay if I take 24 hours to meditate before I make a decision. You know, the world is changing so fast around us that if we can be a beacon of pause for our teams and kind of take the time to make the right choice instead of the first choice, that might make it a little bit easier. But, you know, like I said, I'm no expert. Pass the thin mints. Yeah. Couple of examples of innovations. Innovation doesn't necessarily mean that you have to come up with a new product tomorrow. That's a lot of pressure. But you can start asking the right questions. And a good place to start, somebody asked me last week, well, what if I don't have anything to innovate? I said, well, you must have something that makes you mad. So why don't you start there? Even as a solopreneur, if you don't have employees and you're even more poised to start, write a list of everything that really irritates you and frustrates you. And from a place of frustration, you can look at that list and say, okay, well, what can I do to make this better? Where can I start? And usually innovation can be born of something that's not working or of frustration. Conversely, if you have employees, this is a great time to say, does our org chart still make sense? I mean, that's a huge question that's coming up this week. Or can we do market research on potential new lines of business, potential new customers? What kind of solutions are out there? They exist. You know, we have a lot of great minds now that are putting their thoughts together. Amazing innovations will come out of this.
It's very true. Another way to really pull that forward, to go back to the employee skill set inventory, right? You've got great mindsets on the payroll. So like, get them into a virtual room and allow them to brainstorm. It's sometimes having the ability to contribute really helps the employee workforce, right? And helps their morale, and it lifts up the whole company.
I think we all want to be of service. And right now I'm finding a lot of solace in being of service to my neighbors, to my friends in small ways. Hey, here's our go-to meeting link. We're not using it. If anyone needs it for a virtual happy hour tonight, you can use our go-to meeting. Or I just grew some fresh lettuce from my garden, leaving it on the doorsteps of some of my neighbors. We can be of service in our own organizations as leaders as well by allowing our employees to step up and bring their ideas to the table and be heard. And I think we're all feeling like we're in this together, and any small way that our employees or our community can step up to help each other is an opportunity.
Agreed.
All right. Well, with that said, we've left plenty of time for Q&A.
Yeah, and I would encourage Rick to help facilitate any questions that we might have from the audience or any questions that he has, because I was kind of, Marcus interrupted us today, so... you know, just thinking about the, you know, I saw a few names in the audience that I think might be either solopreneurs or maybe employees that could be concerned about being displaced. Are these times to find new partnerships? You think about sometimes consolidation is a good way to sort of stay alive. 1 + 1 = 3 it sometimes. And where a one-person show, two-person, it can be really, really tough. So a little bit larger organization gives you a little bit of, you know, scale, and you can, I don't know, fill in some of the gaps.
Absolutely. I think always have an ear open to opportunity. Into those time waster activities. And when revenues are good and times are good, it's easy to kind of let that slide. But now we're really seeing our attention refocused on what do I need to do and which conversations do I need to have that create opportunity. So talk to anybody that you can garner wisdom from, and you never know, we could see a lot of new business relationships being forged. Maybe not from the perspective of just you know, more from the perspective of what skill sets can we marry up that will help drive innovation, I think.
Yeah. Rick, do you have anything or from the audience?
There's a couple of questions that came through and then I'll have some additional ones. So when we talk about, higher education being a human capital firm, for these employers, you're seeing a lot of resumes come through for candidates. In the best of times, you probably have advice for candidates on how to improve their odds. What do you think you would give them as far as advice now on how to differentiate or what they should be considering in this crisis as they're applying for jobs or considering new opportunities?
A great question. I would say let's start by being patient and knowing that you aren't going to necessarily receive immediate responses from the places where you're applying. But to get yourself to stand out, to get those calls to come back through, I think it's the advice that we would give almost any other time, but be extra attentive to making sure that your skill sets that you're highlighting are relevant, not to what you think is great about you, but what the employer would want to see. And really, really pull those skill sets out, keep it short, keep it simple. I don't know if this is necessarily the time where employers need to see a 10-page resume, but really get yourself in front of people and also I would say leverage social networking beyond just applying with resumes. And that's something that we support candidates with often.
I think also number one, being of service right now, what might make you stand out later on down the line is what you did to help get the community through this time to show how you go above and beyond besides just your regular day job. I know I'm paying attention to that as a hiring manager for my employers always. And something else is know your value proposition. Now is an awesome time to really hone and practice your, you hear the term elevator pitch, but also that value proposition. What is it? And what, as an employer now, if I am hiring, I have to make some really hard decisions around if you bring enough value for me to consider you. And I think we're going to see that coming out the other side of this as well when things start to get better. What is your value proposition?
So. Let me also add attitude. I have a candidate right now that we're in the middle of a hiring process. We were ready. We had that offer letter in hand before the universe shifted off its axis. And the attitude that this candidate has displayed through the slowdown has just been tremendous, positive. Every time I see an email from this person, it's uplifting to me. Man, I want to bring this person home and just give them pom-poms, right? So that has been been wonderful to see. And I would say that there's value add right there. How do you handle crisis? Not necessarily as an employee, but a candidate says a lot about you. And I'd say, if there's, that's going to be the first offer extended when they get ready to go at it again.
Yeah, great. Yeah. When you talked about employer branding and, the importance there, and there are small businesses out there that are becoming critical in this kind of crisis response, but they may not, have the same brand recognition that large companies have and therefore are not perceived as stable. So what advice would you give to a small business who is hiring and does need to find talent now for this crisis response, but is the candidates maybe concerned about stability?
I think I'll start from a place of what not to do. Being very aware of, as an individual, now is not the time to go on every forum and blog and post about, what a mega crisis it is. And if you do have current employees on your staff, don't scare the living daylights out of them, because if they feel like the bottom is falling out, you're going to have a hard time getting other people on the team that don't have the same experience. So I think, going back to transparency as well, as much transparency as you can provide around stability, I think in the market right now, and for a while after this is all over, candidates are going to be really interviewing potential employers to say, well, I don't want this to happen again. I don't want to be looking for a job again in 2 months. So what certainty can you give me that you're in it for the long haul with me too, and there's a mutual loyalty here? And how you handle your current workforce inventory, your current workforce challenges, and what decisions you make through that process as well.
Right. Several questions about remote working. You know, I think last week everyone thought, oh, okay, let's get set up for a little temporary disruption. And now it's like, hey, we may be, you know, changing behavior forever. And I think there will be some of that. You know, what are you seeing as far as this remote working becoming a skill that people would hire for, and how would they screen for it? And, you know, where do you see that changing hiring practices?
Ooh, interesting. I think we're seeing a shift that will stick. I mean, I don't know that you can put this genie back in a bottle and get everybody back into the office after they've been. Pros and cons to the remote working, but I think it's a strategic competitive advantage for companies that already had the capability. For those that didn't, I mean, we had a client who uses complex computer equipment, and as of last week, midweek, was still trying to figure out how do we get people equipment because they needed it in the office, and how do we even deploy them? They had no remote work policies and procedures either, so they're kind of behind trying to catch up now because things are moving so fast. But to be able to leverage the remote workforce in a competitive advantage strategy, I think we're going to see it's going to be positive for employers in the end.
It is. One thing to keep in mind with that is you ask, you know, how remote hiring, how do you screen for somebody and whether or not they can work well remotely? Well, if you're interviewing them remotely right now, that should give you a pretty strong indicator of their level of professionalism and setup and commitment. But there is certainly an element of personal connection that's lost through video, through just phone, which is where we absolutely highly recommend to employ more of the screening, the personality indexes, the other ways to really get to know a candidate beyond just a conversation. If you can't get them in the same room, I think we're going to see a strong uptick in those tools in order to really highlight and implement those skills.
Yeah. Question about employee support. You know, what's been some of the shiny examples you've seen of employers providing support to their employees?
Oh, immediate personal responses have been positive. Some employees would reach out and say, hey, you know, I've got this family situation. And we almost see it right away, the response of take care of you first. Yeah. You can come back to it. How can I help? And that attitude of service has been tremendous in supporting that.
I think also a sense of humor as well, as kind of twisted as that may seem. I know one of the members of our team, you know, we're trying to have a call with a client last week, and there's someone in the background screaming who says, I can't find my pants and feed me more blueberries. Well, he's three, but now we're getting this inside view into what's going on in people's homes, which is creating a heck of a lot more empathy because, you know, I don't have a pantsless three-year-old running around in the background on my end. And here I'm going, okay, well, I'm seeing a lot more empathy, or I'm able to exercise a lot more empathy for what she's going through. And we had a conversation around it. You know, because the human experience has really sort of collided with the work experience right now, being in home and having everyone's children at home as well.
Yeah. I think one of the themes I'm hearing a lot is, you know, you talk about providing service and that human experience. And, you know, the question comes up a lot, both professionally and personally, when do we get back to normal? And what is normal? We at Haney Biz talked about this last week, you know, the book Good to Great and the Stockdale story, and, you know, how, you know, he was a realist in that experience. So, you know, as you talk to your clients and these executives who are providing leadership and regular communication, you know, what's the message, right? What is the message that balances that human element, but the, you know, creates still that fire to work hard and to do great work professionally. How do you communicate that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the new normal is going to look like. I think remote working is definitely going to be part of the new normal. I hope that the new normal is a certain level of empathy and human connection that I think we were lacking in the workforce before. We'd had so many conversations about employee engagement and employees being heard and retention that we have just an awesome opportunity now to sort of invite in that piece of the human experience, which I hope becomes the new normal. But also maybe flexing hours, and maybe this idea, and I'm hypothesizing here, that does work need to be done between 8 and 5, you know, and can it be done? What will that do to our world? Will we shift to a 24/7 work schedule, or will it actually accommodate people's lives so that they can get out and go for a run? Will we see, I know I've been closing my fitness rings and getting my steps in every day because I'm in workout clothes and it's easy for me to take a run around the block and then come back to work, you know, a couple of times a day. So will that become the new normal? I don't know. Those are silver linings, I suppose.
They are. And in the space of uncertainty, we talk often about what you can control and identify that. If you're a business owner, what do you want your new normal to look like with your team? Start brainstorming what that policy might look like now. It can change. It doesn't have to be set in stone, but it's a great way to now start setting that precedent and setting the structure for your remote teams. And that way, when you go to launch, after we figure out what the new normal is, to already have built in some of those habits among your team.
I also think if I was a large employer that had a workforce of, you know, 20 or more employees, I'd probably be trying to innovate some kind of virtual childcare and maybe, you know, getting kids in a certain area where someone could keep an eye on them with a virtual entertainment or something so that I could keep the rest of my employees utilized rather than every employee juggling all of their childcare concerns at the same time. So I think maybe we'll see some innovations there. I don't know. Who knows? With kids these days are so used to looking at computer screens and connecting that way that could also be our new normal. Or we could say, this is terrible. We want to go back to shaking hands and, you know, looking at each other over a cup of coffee. Heck knows I miss that.
Great. Do you have a question, Mark?
I do. I don't. No.
Great. Well, those are all the questions from our audience. So really
thank
appreciate
you, audience.
Katie, Natasha. What's that?
I said, thank you, audience. I think my only other question is, why in the heck do I not look at all like the picture on that PowerPoint right now?
You look fantastic.
Oh my gosh. This remote working thing. Yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you for sharing this with the entrepreneurial community. We're all in different places. Some of your clients are in growth mode. Some of us are trying to figure out how to survive at some level. So you were really authentic, and I think brought a human element that we're all sort of needing at this in this time. So thank you very much to both Natasha and Katie.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And if anyone listening needs a resource, I know Mark has obviously many resources in connection. Rick, contact us. As Rick mentioned, we are in the same building physically, not right now, but on address and letterhead. So certainly any one of us could try to help you. And as I mentioned, really the focus on being of service. And I know Mark shares that philosophy as well. So we're all in this together and we're all here to be of service to each other.
Yeah, baby.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thanks, everyone. I just got some chats that some people found this very helpful. So if you found it helpful, feel free to share it. Look for it on our podcast channels. Look for it on YouTube.
And we have some other ones coming up too, Rick. Don't we? Don't we have something? It's like every day at 2 for a while.
Tomorrow.
Every day at 2 p.m. we'll be here. So join us all week. And if you go to our website, haneybiz.com/events, you can see the schedule. Make sure you're tracking those. And together we can make it through this. So thank you, everyone. And we'll see you on the next webinar.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.